Or from CBS's Catherine Herridge.
On Capitol Hill, a stark warning from the FBI chief.
I've never seen a time where all the threats, or so many of the threats, are all elevated, all at exactly the same time.
With the spike in threats since the war began, the intelligence report warns civilian casualties in Gaza or the increased presence of U.S. military forces in direct support of Israel will likely be exploited by terrorist groups.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says his soldiers will maintain control over the Gaza Strip long after the war with Hamas ends. More on that from CBS's Chris Libsey in Jerusalem.
The last time Israel occupied the Gaza Strip up until 2005, that meant it had to evict settlers. This time around, Netanyahu isn't talking about sending settlers back into the Gaza Strip. So that's at least one major difference between what one might interpret as occupation.
Film and television actors have approved the three-year contract their union leaders reached with studios, says CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
78% approval from the members of SAG-AFTRA was no certainty, with some prominent members voicing dissent on the deal. The union's sticking points included pay, pension and health contributions, and AI protections.
The actors were out on strike for 4 months. A judge in Wisconsin has ruled that an 1849 law, which had been interpreted as a near total ban on abortions, actually doesn't apply to abortions at all. More from reporter Bruce Marcus.
The law was challenged in court by Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call, who argued it was obsolete after a 1985 law that permitted abortions. This case will likely wind up in the state Supreme Court.
New York will hold a special election February 13th to fill the seat George Santos held until he was kicked out of the House. Candidates for the district will be chosen by party leaders. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 26 overnight under cloudy skies. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. High of 38 tomorrow. 2 tomorrow night, cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. I got you here. You, Dom!
Yeah, Crudy!
With me in the Mad Radio 92.7 FM studios, the Solidarity Realty Studios. How you doing, buddy?
Awesome, Crudy. Good to be with you in studio. Always more fun together. Nate, great to see you as well. Thank you. And our fair audience, happy Tuesday to us all. Big show today.
Told the wife, Dom's in town.
Uh-oh.
Might be a late night.
I'll be home next year.
I'll be home, you know, before the weekend. Before the weekend. Dom, the politicking, and we do the politicking mostly around here. We got a fine politician joining us a little bit later in the big show, right? We got our friend Melissa Agard in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, local journalists of some national renown, John Nichols.
Yeah.
And he apparently inspired the false flag operation on January 6th.
Yes, it's all John's fault.
And you might think we're kidding right now, but this accusation has been leveled against our pal John Nichols. We had to verify he wasn't on this show. He has been accused of what? Inspiring? What'd he do, Dom?
Apparently, according to the Washington Post, has a piece out defending his 2020 fraud claims, Trump turns to fringe January 6th theories. And in this article, they reference...
Amongst the theories being cited...
They talk about the fence cutter bulwark and scaffold commander, nicknames given by conspiracy theorists to people they claim are government agents who instigated the January 6th. Also, all documents they want regarding Ray Epps, who they falsely accused of being an undercover operative, and John Nichols, a liberal journalist in Wisconsin, who right-wing media have suggested encouraged violence at the Capitol on behalf of the quote-unquote deep state. John! That is so not what John did. I mean, we have John. We have him on record.
We have teased John for perhaps not seeing the ferocity of the attacks that were coming on January 6th, you know, maybe downplaying in before it happened, didn't know what was coming.
Right. This was in December prior to it happening.
But so almost a month earlier. Prior, he appeared on the greatest radio show ever.
And said, nah.
Had a completely differing attitude.
They're going to go home and shovel the snow and put their, hats back on. Tinfoil hats back on.
Well, Dom, the man's name has been invoked by the Washington Post, so we're going to have our friend and journalist, John Nichols, on Excellent. This great show.
Can't wait. 5:30.
From the Nation, from the Cap Times locally. 5:30, got to stick around for that. Dom, I've quizzed you a few times in this life. What's the worst that could happen?
You see? What's the worst that could happen? I'm not worried.
We were on the cusp of worst that could have happened at Oktoberfest that night you locked me out of the hotel room in La Crosse, Dom. But
something about that town, man.
Somehow I walked it. Just back from arrest. But Dom, I'm talking about the Nation more broadly. What's the worst that could happen? You know, I've asked that question of you a few times, and there's been some articles recently. Well, dictatorship, of course.
Yeah, lots of articles. The Atlantic, lots of national news organizations sounding the alarm on what could happen with a second Trump presidency.
2025 project, they're looking to purge all the good bureaucrats, replace them with Trump loyalists. Lots of bad stuff could happen if Donald Trump won re-election. Kind of scary. But
You're scared, bro?
I'm not scared. I'm going to take a differing tack today.
Today.
Today I feel a little different.
All right.
And here's why. A little piece over at the Washington Post. This one not accusatory towards John Nichols.
Thank you, Greg Sargent.
An opinion piece. Enough with all the fatalism about a Trump dictatorship. Because, Dom, the only thing we have to fear is Trump himself.
Is that it?
Maybe.
You tell that to the police officers at the Capitol on January 6th.
Let me read a little bit.
You know what I mean, man?
Are you afraid of a Donald Trump dictatorship? Well, know this. The only thing you have to fear is tyrannous Trumpus itself. There was an article over at the Post. They, you know, made allusions to. Anyways, by now, it's hard to deny that Trump has a narrow but plausible path to authoritarian rule in the United States. Is that the encouraging news, Crudy? A little bit more. Polls show he could well win next year's election. Trump allies are openly developing an elaborate blueprint to transform a second term into a full-blown autocracy. Prominent columnists have demonstrated in great detail how it might succeed. But certain versions of this argument have grown seriously problematic. It's sometimes said that our institutions and civic culture have withered so much that resistance to Trumpian tyranny would be incapacitated, rendering an onset all but inevitable. Apparently, Greg Sargent, not a believer. such a reading of the moment risk leading us astray, Dom. It fails to account for much of the good that transpired during the Trump years, from which there is plenty to learn.
Everything's a lesson, Michael.
That which does not kill us makes us stronger. I read on. Undue fatalism could even prove counterproductive, de-energizing voter opposition exactly when Trump is brazenly projecting his dictatorial intentions. No question, extreme pessimism is understanding, and I'm looking at you, Salvia, glass half empty. Trump faces multiple criminal indictments, including for allegedly attempting to destroy free and fair elections in the United States. Well, that minor detail.
It's not really a big deal.
Dom, he and his allies are vowing to stock the government with loyalists. I like loyalists. Who would trample legal constraints, arrest political opponents. Unfortunately, we might be in that column. Without cause, and persecute the vermin voters who resist him. Yet even as all this unfolds in plain sight, Trump's grip on the GOP primary voters has tightened, and he continues to run strong against President Biden. Surely this means, as some have argued, that the great mass of voters are prepared to roll over and succumb to nepotism, right?
No, it doesn't, Curdy. The polls are certainly disconcerting, Greg Sargent from the Washington Post writes. But let's not draw premature conclusions from them about the electorate's civic health or its attunement to the threat of democracy Trump poses. This might be easy to overlook amid Trump's daily degradations, but the Trump years offer at least some cause for optimism. When Trump executed his 2017 ban on many Muslims entering the country, crowds descended on airports in a surprising outpouring of support. A year later, historians Laura Putnam and Theda Skocpol documented an unexpected groundswell of painstaking political organizing among formerly apathetic middle-aged women to defend democracy fueling Democrats' 2018 midterm blowout. During the 2020 election season, despite outbreaks of street violence, most voters saw protests against police brutality as peaceful, legitimate political activity, rejecting Trump's effort to smear them in threatening terms. In the 2022 midterms, many prominent GOP election deniers lost, and fears for democracy were a key motivator for voters. It remains underappreciated, but our national response to anti-democratic menace of the Trump years has in some respects been surprisingly good, not just electorally, but also institutionally. Trump's gaming of the judicial system, to overturn his 2020 loss hit a wall in the courts. By a wide bipartisan margin, Congress passed reforms to Trump-proof the system by which we count electoral votes. Trump's incitement of a violent coup attempt inspired the Democrat-led hearings investigating the January 6 attack, the most riveting public case mounted by a governing body in at least a generation. Election officials, Republican lawmakers, and even former advisors to Trump testified with extraordinary courage, surely turning many voters against election deniers in 2022. Fears that the Justice Department could refrain from prosecuting Trump and his co-conspirators amid more intimidation of mob violence proved unfounded. Please don't read this as naive. Yes, Trump can win, but the polls likely reflect voter disengagement long before Election Day, and alarmist obsessing over them risks distracting us from a deeper cause of our crisis. I concur with that. As Jamel Bowie details from the New York Times, a Trump restoration might be facilitated by the Electoral College and the Supreme Court's gutting of voting rights, which help electoral minorities hostile to democracy, such as the MAGA movement, seize power beyond their numbers. In short, if Trump has a path to autocracy in the United States, it probably would run through the counter-majoritarian features of our system, at least as much as through the alleged voter apathy about democracy. Yet all the hand-wringing about the autocratic threat rarely involves discussions of majoritarian reform. The case for panic also rests on reports that Trump allies are aggressively preparing to purge the government of the sort of weak-kneed officials who internally resisted Trump's designs last time. In a second term, some worry Trump, this jumped on me.
You know what, Dom?
Yes.
Maybe you should hold this thought.
Hold the thought.
Because we're going to sneak up on a little breaky break here, which, you know, we don't talk about breaky breaks on Fight Club. But here's the point. I want this to sink in a little bit. We're going to have to revisit a few of these thoughts. But as I understand what's being propositioned here by Greg Sargent, this opinion piece from The Post, there's nothing to fear because democracy will hold. And democracy means like the citizenry, not the institutions per se. But if people think, and I'm not counting myself amongst them, I'm feeling somewhat cautiously optimistic.
Today here. You are.
Today.
Today.
Well, it's always subject to mood, like my net worth. Yeah. But today I'm feeling cautiously optimistic, Tom, because these voters, these people, their democracy, we the people are the democracy, Dom. And what all this assumes is people are just going to become lethargic and say, oh, it's hard. This democracy thing is hard. But it's not so hard that we're going to roll over and play dead and let Trump be our dictator. I don't believe it for a minute. Have no fear. Devil's advocates are here. Come back with us. Phone calls. They're appreciated. 844-96-PARTY.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
There's excitement surrounding Carroll University basketball this year. Head coach Lindsey Schultz and the Pioneer women are fired up to deliver another winning season in the CCIW. You can catch all the action of every Carroll women's home game right here. Join Don Brown as he takes you from tip-off through all the game excitement on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom.
We are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always be a part of this fine program. Just simply call 844-967-2789.
Dominic, incorporating an opinion piece, Greg Sargent, Washington Post. It's got me feeling cautiously optimistic. The guardrails of democracy will hold against the dictatorial tendencies of the former, the guy that would like to be the next president. Well, here's
we'll see. We'll see.
Here's why the glass today is half full, Dom. I again read from the body of the Washington Post piece, Greg Sargent. All that scheming does demand vigilance, but its prospects depend on the prosecutions of Trump and his coup co-conspirators not succeeding. If they do succeed, all the Trumpian bluster about staffing up with lawyers to execute an illegal second-term agenda might quickly evaporate. That success is far from guaranteed, but so far the prosecutions have demonstrated unexpected institutional fortitude. Let's not write them out of the story just yet, Dom. The impulse to sound alarms, to break voters out of their it-can't-happen-here doldrums is understandable. But it's also possible to take this too far. And here, it's worth registering an irony. Ruth Ben-Gayat, a scholar of strongman rule, has noted that the time-tested tactic of authoritarian leaders is to disarm the electorate by suggesting their glorious triumph is inevitable. Greatest radio show ever. Greatest radio show ever. I continue. Authoritarians, this is a quote, Tom. Authoritarians create a climate where they seem unstoppable. Creating an aura of destiny around their leader galvanizes his supporters by making his movement seem much stronger than it actually is. The manipulation of perception is everything. Greatest crowds ever, right?
I mean, totally. That's what he does.
The aim is to hypnotize voters into forgetting the power and numbers that they possess, persuading them that politics is hopelessly sordid and disappointing exercise. But that is not the story of the Trump years. The purpose of this isn't to downplay the gravity of the moment. It is to channel anxieties about it in a constructive direction. As Brian Butler writes on Substack, Greg Sargent went there. I don't usually go to Substack, Tom. Excessive public worries about Trump's supposed inevitability bury the all-important truth that popular majorities have regularly, emphatically rejected Trump and all he represents, potentially making the convictions of anti-Trump movement look feeble in the eyes of swing voters. No more indulging in paralyzing, fatalistic nightmares. We need a spirit of guarded and vigilant confidence, one that is fully aware of what's at stake while drawing inspiration from the cognizance that this country has thwarted Trump in the past and will likely do so again. Likely.
Likely. Probably. Probably. Greg Sargent in the Washington Post. Enough with all the fatalism about a Trump dictatorship. It's an interesting
piece. Yeah, you always overreacting.
Me? What? Crudy, I remember back on Brady Street in the days, you were concerned about, what, the police, Trump's police, marching down Brady Street and picking you and I up off for being the resistance, right? Was that kind of your mentality back then? What has changed?
Well, we're no longer Resistance Radio, literally. Yeah. We didn't brand the studio, and we are on the second floor. So, you know, rapid acquisition and handcuffing of us, at least I'd see him coming, Dom. I get the window.
So what changed in your mind? I mean, I get this piece, and I actually thought it was...
What changed?
I think it's appropriate for, as many of these media outlets have done, is to specify, articulate, you know, project what would happen if Donald Trump got in and you know, followed through on everything that he says he's going to do. What would that look like? I think that's fair game to think about those things.
Well, I think we're a little beyond simple policy differences. What changed is 2020. Trump was defeated. He was defeated at the ballot box. He was defeated in the midterms. The overturning of Roe v. Wade has sparked an electorate. I mean, the Dobbs decision, look at the state of Wisconsin, look at the spring Protasiewicz victory to the state Supreme Court. You question what changed? The electorate rose up and has rejected the stripping away of their personal rights, especially in the case of women and reproductive rights. But I don't think it's just that, man. I mean, I don't think it's just that. Effectively, Trump won through the eye of a needle against a candidate who maybe didn't run her strongest campaign in Hillary in 2016. And maybe there were some coordinating efforts from the Russians and others through social media push and whatever. But whatever the confluence of circumstance, he drew an inside straight on the river. You know what I mean? This was not a normal election. Even he was shocked he won. Wasn't even running to win. He was running for notoriety. So once we saw what Donald Trump looked like, the American people rose up resoundingly and rejected that by 81 million votes. I mean, he can talk about more votes for any incumbent president ever, 75 million. Yeah, but Joe Biden got 7 million more, 10% more votes. That's an ass whooping. So I would say that is the encouraging part. This only happens if people go to sleep at the switch. Now, there are states that are much more important. The state we live in, Dom, this is one of the important states. There's only like a handful that really decide the national election, sadly. Wisconsin's one of them. Arizona, maybe. Nevada. Georgia. Maybe North Carolina. But it's only going to be 5-6 states. Let's hope Michigan's solidly in the blue column. You never can tell. And Pennsylvania. Hell, Ohio's not even in play anymore. Ohio used to be the turning point. Now it's solidly red. So it really only matters what the citizens in a handful of states think. I mean, when you talk about the Electoral College. And we're here in one of these states now, so we'll kick ass and take names here. So, you know, I figure Trump's got to win like 3 or 4 states that I don't think he can win.
That's assuming, again, as Greg Sargent points out, that he's not convicted, which he very well may be.
Well, I think the conviction, if he is convicted, certainly on the federal charges, the January 6th, the March trial, the Chutkin trial that we've talked so much about, it's the only one I really, really care about. Because I think he could readily dismiss any sort of, I mean, he's already effectively been convicted of fraud in the New York trial. That's not affecting the man. If anything, it raised his poll numbers. And I think we all know that he stole some documents and went off to Mar-a-Lago with them. But so did Biden and so did Pence. And that somehow muddies the waters, I think.
No, that's those. But okay, but finish your point.
And you've got Eileen Cannon, a Trump appointee, who is doing her damnedest to make sure this trial does not go off before Election Day. So really, it comes down to Fulton County, Georgia. And Fani Willis has said specifically, she can't wrap this thing up before the election. And there's the March trial. It really all comes down to the March trial, the January 6th trial, the Chutkin trial, the Jack Smith trial of Donald Trump and his co-conspirators. And if convictions are leveled against specifically Donald Trump, I think that gives them all the ammunition they need. He'll be blocked off the ballot in a handful of states at minimum. He won't electorally be able to get there from here if he is convicted. Now, the Republicans would have a hell of a mess on their hands, and I look forward to those days coming, Dom.
Yes, they do have a hell of a mess.
Because I think he's going to be their nominee on March 5th.
Prior to conviction.
And the trial starts, or at least is scheduled for March 4th. Something to speculate on. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. We always speculate this could be the greatest radio show ever. With your call, 844.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief, Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville has lifted his months-long hold on the promotions of 425 senior military officers. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland.
It's really penalized officers and their families in terms of not only promotions they deserved and had been selected for, but being able to move, assume new responsibilities, get their families settled.
Tuberville kept his hold in place for the promotions of about a dozen four-star officers. The FBI is warning of domestic terrorist attacks, says CBS's Catherine Herridge.
The intelligence report predicts ISIS and Al-Qaeda will likely use the Middle East conflict to increase calls for violence in the U.S. this holiday season compared to prior years.
Israel is increasing its attacks on Hamas targets in southern Gaza. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Many Palestinians say they have no place to go. No supplies, and constantly fear bombardment. We are living between life and death, this mother cries. We may die at any moment.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers signed the bill to spend $500 million of public money to pay for upkeep at American Family Field on Tuesday. The bill eventually saw bipartisan support in the legislature after months of negotiations. Now negotiations can begin between the Brewers and the state-created ballpark district that owns the stadium to keep the team in Milwaukee through 2050. The Wisconsin State Senate's top Republican tells the Wisconsinite Public Affairs Network he disagrees with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss over withholding University of Wisconsin pay raises over diversity programming.
Why do you support holding back those pay raises for UW employees?
I don't support holding them back.
You think that money should go out the door?
Yeah, I do.
Republican Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says withholding raises hurts a lot of people who have nothing to do with diversity programs. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lowest dip down to about 26 overnight under cloudy skies. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. High of 38 tomorrow. 2 tomorrow night, cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts?
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Got Dom right here with me where he belongs. And the Mad Radio 92.7 FM Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison. You can join us here by dialing 844-967-2789. Dom, I know you try to keep the politicking outside of work to a minimum. Did you happen to catch Liz Cheney on the Rachel Maddow on the MSNBC last night?
No, I did not.
I don't know why I even asked. I should have just made that presumption. What were you doing last night, Don?
You know, Liz Cheney selling a book, man. You know, whatever.
Maybe she's selling small effort. D democracy, is man.
That, yeah, well, good for her for cashing out, man. I mean, I appreciate her efforts on the January 6th, but I've heard from Liz Cheney.
Here are a couple of things she said last night. Headline here I found. Liz Cheney says Mike Johnson, you know, your buddy, the speaker.
Oh, yeah.
Was willing to do things he knew to be wrong for Donald Trump. She made that accusation last night. Got a little sound for the uninformed amongst us.
She made the accusation last night, right? Did yes. She went, and this happened while Trump was still in office?
Well, now the guy's Speaker of the House. A little more pertinent.
Certainly. But what was she...
You can't go after every insurrectionist backbencher. I mean...
Yes, you can. In fact, every single one of them, you can. But let's hear what the...
Let's hear what Dom missed last night. Yeah. Well, I was doing the homework, doing the hard work for the show. And then Nate also did the hard work for the show. Got some clips together. What Dom does around here...
What, look good, baby.
He drinks and he knows stuff. Played for the people. Liz Cheney on the Rachel Maddow. Cut one, please.
But what I would say is, the way that I look at it is, those of us on the right in this moment have a particularly great responsibility and duty, because this threat has emerged from the right.
Yeah.
We can talk about why that was. I think that you know, frankly, there are millions of people around the country who feel like they aren't heard. And Donald Trump managed to convince them that he would be their voice, you know, which is, of course, a complete lie, but they bought it. And he preyed on that patriotism. But right now, it's, I think, partly why I have been so so disappointed with what I've seen from other members of my party in their unwillingness to step up. I think we have a particular duty to step up.
More from Liz Cheney, because Dom seems at least mildly amused. Play it for the people, would you, Nate?
You look ahead to a year from now, heading into the next election cycle. If Trump wins, if Trump is the nominee of the Republican Party and he wins and he's back in power, what is your life like? And what do you think the noble, patriotic, righteous fight is to save the country at that point?
I don't even want to imagine a situation where he has won. I think we have to do everything we can to stop him, in terms of, again, the kinds of things we've been talking about, working in a very nonpartisan fashion. But I also, Rachel, think about it from the perspective of my kids. And, you know, there was a moment right after January 6th where I was having dinner with my husband and our two youngest kids, who happened to be our sons. And I looked at my sons across the dinner table, and I had this realization, you know, I grew up in a country where I didn't have to wonder if we were going to have a peaceful transfer of power in the United States. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, my God, maybe they won't be able to say the same thing. And that is why it's so fundamentally important that we ensure Democrats, independents, Republicans, that we work together, we vote together, we make clear that Donald Trump is not an acceptable alternative. He is not the lesser of two evils. He is a completely unfit man for office. He's already shown us what he would do, and he can never be near the Oval Office again.
Liz Cheney on the Maddow last night. You know, sure, but work together, vote together, those are nice things to say, but I read articles that she's what? Pondering perhaps a third party run. Is that voting together? You know what I'm saying? So yeah, okay. But the other thing is,
you know, she is just coming up with the very same solution that Joe Manchin would come up with. She, you know, sees a divided nation and looks in the mirror and thinks, I am the savior.
I mean, no, you're not. My greater concern is, once the cult of personality, Donald Trump in this case, goes away one way or the other, right? Either he gets convicted, maybe gets elected, maybe gets thrown out. We'll see what happens. But this, the conservatives have embraced this. And if this is, you know, the motion, it's in works, man. This 2025 thing. Well, it doesn't have to be a Donald Trump Republican presidency to go down this road. I mean, they're gonna build this up. They're going to whoever's gonna be the Republican, the conservative nominee.
You think Nikki Haley's putting Stephen Miller on her cabinet?
No, I do not.
Steve Bannon's going to be an inside advisor to the DeSantis presidency.
No, I do not. But they also have all embraced the same philosophy. What is DeSantis? What is Nikki Haley? How they separated themselves from the policies of Donald Trump? You know what I mean?
They are two different candidates, and I would say that Nikki Haley does not scare the ever-loving crap out of me that she has fascistic tendencies. The other two certainly do, though. I mean, DeSantis is just a pretty boy Trump. He wants to be a dictator. He just doesn't have the courage.
So that is throughout the conservative movement, the Republican movement, the MAGA movement, right? That's not going away. I mean, Donald Trump, it was always there under the surface. Trump magnified it, allowed it to come out, and these folks are going to try to manipulate it because they need the votes. They need those MAGA votes. If it's not Donald Trump, some conservative is going to have to tap into the MAGA votes if they're going to have a chance to win the presidency. And how do they do that? Well, they play into the same fears that Donald Trump's been lying to the people about from day one. I mean, Donald Trump, what? To respond to the Lincoln Project, you're putting out a video of Donald Trump. A
cut-up. Not weak.
Not weak. I mean, he blamed it on AI. Oh, that wasn't me. That's AI. I'm like, dude, I saw literally some of those things live. That wasn't AI. But it doesn't matter. The straight up lying, the manipulation, that's going to continue because it works on that side.
Here's the problem. The problem is the middle. And I don't mean the reasonable middle. I don't mean, you know, thoughtful guys like Nick.
Our buddy Nick, yeah.
Our buddy Nick from Madison. He's way too reasonable to fall into this category. But I fear those that say both sides do it. Because the baseline Trump support's only maybe, what, 30, 35%? I mean, it's not a huge number. It's not big enough to win the electorate. Never was. But there were some people that threw in for, let's call them the tax cuts in 2016. Ah, he's the Republican. Give me my tax cut. And maybe they got that, right? They did get the Trump tax cuts.
They sure did.
But there's some people in the middle there. And it's not even an electoral majority because Trump will never get to 50 plus one. Might get to 48. Get a still thread the needle.
Well, of the people that actually engage in self-governance and go vote.
Of the people that vote.
Right. That's
the states that carry the electoral votes that matter, right, which we just talked about was maybe 5, 6, 7 states. But what about the difference in the electorate from the 33% of the MAGA pure and like the 48% of the electorate that maybe Trump could garner in an election in 2024? Assuming he's not in prison. Those, both sides do it. You know, they'll say, Hunter Biden's laptop. Hunter Biden took $5 million from the Chinese or Burisma or somebody. More money than I got. But they'll completely look the other way at the record of Jared Kushner or Ivanka Trump. While they worked for the government,
right,
in the Trump
actually
administration.
In the White House, whereas, of course, Hunter Biden was never part of the government.
And that also plays along with this newest, the impeachment of Joe Biden, right? Because the last guy got impeached twice. Everybody's doing it. Everybody gets impeached these days. That's just political warfare. You know, in Wisconsin, they're calling it lawfare. You know, if you use a lawsuit, it's lawfare. Well, it's the political warfare. That's the way they're casting this. And all they got to do is convince 13, 14, 15% of the electorate that everybody's corrupt. Ah, of course the big guy did it. Of course his son's feeding money up to him. Everybody does it. They must all do it. And therefore, I want another tax cut. I'm going to go the Trump route again. That's all it takes. Is lack of moral clarity between the two parties. Lack of moral clarity.
Well, that's perception, though. Do you think those things are equal? Do you think the impeachment?
Absolutely not.
The pending impeachment of Joe Biden, perhaps Mike Johnson taking a vote next week.
Meritorious and warranted? Hell no.
Okay, was it meritorious and warranted for Donald Trump?
I believe it was.
On each
to
case.
To my belief, it was.
The perfect phone call and the perfect riot.
I am more clear that the riot merited an impeachment. January 6th, the man showed himself to be a menace. Yeah, certainly he should have been not only impeached, because impeachment's just a process, right? It's just a dirty word. But he should have been convicted. And, of course, there weren't enough Republican senators of courage to stand up and do what history needed. And that was the elimination of Donald Trump, because the guy tried to overturn the democracy and get his vice president hanged. Seems so, like that's no, pretty morally clear to me, but so not enough for these U.S. senators.
What is it? So it's morally clear to you, but what is it about your ability to perceive that makes it so different than those 15% you're so concerned about? You know, what is it about your experience?
My mama just raised me right. I don't look at the lacking in merit impeachment of Joe Biden and say, well, it's got the word in there, so it must be the same. Same
right.
word.
Right.
Same. Hunter Biden's laptop. Guy didn't work for the government. Might apply it on his dad's good name. But, I mean, that's the whole Trump thing. They all live on the Trump name, right? Right. That's like lock, stock, and barrel. They're all in on the Trump name. But, of course, both sides do it. And I would point out, Donald Trump has had two unique opponents in this regard. Talk about the moral clarity. I think Hillary Clinton left enough whiff of her emails and the Clinton Foundation, and they use other people's money by the billions to influence outcomes. And Trump's just using other people's money to, you know, self-enrich. Slightly different, but it all seems the same if you're just a working class stiff, or at least there's just enough there to tar and feather Hillary Clinton with it. And she seemed so sanctimonious in that she knew she was going to win. Everybody knew. All the polls told us. And it gave liberty to people to go vote third party. But guess what? Nobody felt that liberty. No one was voting Gary Johnson or Jill Stein in 2020. People voted like democracy depended on it.
Does democracy depend on it now? Now we talked
Absolutely
about Greg.
It depends
Are you
on
sure? Because Greg Sargent seems to somewhat downplay that. And is that the winning message?
What Greg Sargent is saying is democracy is going to meet this moment. Democracy being the people that actually go out and do the voting. It's not the party leadership. It's the people. The people will rise up because there's no way in hell people in this nation, none of the people I've met have said, I really wish it was a dictatorship. But they don't understand necessarily that some of these policies would lead to that, right? The guy's looking for revenge. Wants to punish some enemies, maybe some internment camps. We don't even have to get into the policy issues.
Media is the enemy of the people. He's coming after you,
Crudy.
He's
been saying that since the beginning, man.
Yes.
It doesn't make me feel any better that they wouldn't send a truck down State Street instead of Brady Street to come and pick our asses up should he win re-election. But I do have faith in the American people, Dom. We talk to them every day. Sometimes they talk back on the phones at 844-967-2789. But I have a lot of faith and belief that the American people don't want this. And my only fear is that Trump's only plan is to so besmirch the process. Oh, everybody's got classified jocks. Mike Pence has them. Joe Biden's got them in the Corvette. I got a few thousand in the shower. Everybody's got a corrupted kid. I got mine and Joe's got his. Everybody's doing it. Hell, I got two impeachments. Joe's only got one. Vote for me. I'll set you free. 844-967-2789. This time, we'll take your calls for sure-sies.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open, going there now at 844-967-2789.
Stealing the power away from me, man. A lot of power in this little mouse. I will make the choice to go with Dale from Kenosha first today. Dale, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hi, Dale.
Hi. I can't wait for Trump to use this as a defense. That all politicians, you got to be a crook, you know. Something to that category.
Well, he's told us only stupid people pay taxes, Dale. The suckers pay taxes. He doesn't pay taxes. He could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose a vote.
If he said I can't be a politician without being a crook. I mean, that's the understatement for Trump, I guess.
Well, unfortunately, Bob Menendez helps him make that case.
Well, but there's always those kinds of cases, Dale. Are you concerned? Do you think there is a all sides do it? Do you think that comparison, accurate or not, if made, will resonate with some perhaps, independent type voters?
If made, will resonate? Well, that's why he's popular, I guess. You know, he's getting by with that, he's got the wool pulled over everybody's eyes, his supporters. Anyway.
Dale, appreciate you listening. Here's talking about moral clarity. I think Barack Obama was a far better man than I would ever aspire to be. If it was Donald Trump and Barack Obama on the same ballot, do you think it would even be close? I don't. I think it'd be 20 million votes.
If Joe was 10 years younger, would it be close?
It'd be a hell of a lot less close, I believe, because a more vibrant, younger Joe Biden would dispel a lot of the concerns about older, less vibrant Joe.
He seems pretty vibrant to me, man. We'll see. 844-967-2789.
CJ from Stoughton. Welcome back, CJ. What do you got for us?
Hey, CJ.
Hey, Crudy and Dom. You got any feedback on our conversation, Crudy?
No, I was sure complaining today, even the powers that be. You and I worked very hard on this, CJ, and it was a collaborative effort. We played it on the radio, and I did get some nice feedback from listeners, but from those that claim to be our colleagues in radio... None of them listen, CJ.
How about you, CJ? Any feedback from your side?
What a shock, because they didn't watch Red State versus Blue State either.
I watched.
Because DeSantis dominated Newsom.
Oh.
It was awesome.
What?
Anyway.
It's one thing for you to say the policies of Florida somehow may statistically be superior to the policies of California. And that would be an arguable point, and I might even give it to you. But you can't tell me
prove it, Trudy.
Ron DeSantis beat anybody at anything, dude. He was like a scared deer in the headlights for 290 minutes. That was not a good showing from DeSantis.
What? He had facts on his side like I did in our conversation, but you prove it all the time. You guys don't like facts. Hey, did you guys happen to see that the Republicans are protecting females and love women and girls? And
when's this new policy rollout, CJ?
Today, it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
So, CJ, you're telling me the Republicans are going to allow women to have abortions now? What are you talking about?
I know that's the only thing you care about, Dom. But you know what? They still can have them. they may have to travel to get their marijuana and an abortion.
Yeah. But, really?
You know,
but anyway, CJ, do you hear the words coming out of your mouth? You're about to get banned again, man.
Come on, man. Are you sure about that?
If you say abortion tourism, you're banned.
Come on, man.
Well, here's something. You know, Title IX was the crown jewel for the women's movement. And that's the way it's been for 50 years. And your party is fighting it. And you're letting your extremist in your party demean women and girls by forcing biologically hung men to shower with little girls or adult
girls.
Give me girls.
A case and file. Yeah. When did that happen?
Sun Prairie. How about Sun Prairie, Crudy? They forced sophomore girls to shower with a biological boy. Are you okay with that?
They never forced me to shower. I mean, that might have been the shower offered because there was a transitioning athlete, but I don't recall ever being forced to shower. I'm just saying, no one ever forced me. After athletics in school, you might have stunk. Better to, you know, shower than not shower, but I got a shower at home, man. If I was that embarrassed, if this was really a problem, I would have held off on the showering for 15 minutes till I got home. And then I would have showered. And problem solved.
CJ and the Republicans, supporters and fighters of women everywhere. 844-967-2789. Cam from Nina, you're up. Welcome, Cam. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cam.
Hey, so I actually have part of what CJ said that I agree with, except he missed on part of it. I think he misheard when he was looking at the news. It is priests, preachers, etc., that love little girls and little boys, because that's what was in the news. In fact, I think right before your show started airing today, another one of them in Wisconsin got in trouble, actually I think two of them, for going on mission trips, connecting with children, and getting stuff sent to them when they returned back to the States. So I don't know why he wants to cherry pick certain things, but we have data showing who really is typically the ones that are doing this.
Right on, Cam. Appreciate your thoughts today. Mark from the SAC, let's get you in. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, thanks, guys. CJ's talking about the whole transitioning thing, but it just, I've read some history lately, and it seems that these religious right people do not really believe in democracy because they think it's a violation of the commandment to obey thy father and thy mother. And they want to call the government our father and our father, even out the mother thing, because they are very paternalistic and they want to run the whole show.
It's like God told him to do it, Mark. Thanks for the call, man. Yeah, that is a concern. And, of course, what, second in line of the presidency, Mike Johnson, he's one of those folks. I mean, some of these Republicans, these very religious conservatives, are all about bringing God, having God run and be involved in government. I think that's a terrible, terrible idea. Thanks for the call, Mark.
More Devil's Advocates, a happier happy hour with Melissa Agard and someone else.
John Nichols.
Oh, yeah. What a great show.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. You are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Terrorists may attack targets in the U.S. in retaliation for America's support of Israel and its war against Hamas, FBI Director Christopher Wray before a Senate committee.
If you just look post October 7th, and I thought the threat was elevated before October 7th, but post October 7th, you've